She's in.
News, everyone.
We can edit that out. We can take that out in post.
Oh, we will. All right. So welcome to Fudge the Roll. I'm Tristan.
I'm Zach.
I'm Jenny.
Hi. So new Unearthed Arcana came out, and Zach has some issues with it.
No, you're the one with the issues.
I don't have issues with it. I think it's fine. You're the one with an insane idea.
It's not insane, okay? I saw it on Reddit.
Well, in that case...
Oh, well. It's on Reddit. Okay, why won't the Unearthed Arcana open? It's insane. Alright, anyway. The Unearthed Arcana is for playable classes for Minotaur and Centaur. And, okay, Zach, why don't you just tell us what your theory for the Centaur was?
All right, under Centaur traits, you have equine build. It's a lot of bullshit. And then, finally, a medium or smaller creature can ride on your equine back if you allow it. In such a situation, you continue to act independently, not as a controlled mount. And if you scroll back up under size, a Centaur size is medium. But you tower over most other humanoids. So you're on the large end of medium.
Yeah.
So that being said, if your size is medium and the equine build allows a medium or smaller creature, that means you can stack one centaur on top of each other ad nauseum to infinity.
And beyond.
And make a Centaur Voltron.
No, okay. Well, first of all, to be Centaur Voltron, you'd have to have like centaurs on the side. And centaurs underneath and a centaur head.
Okay.
Would a centaur Voltron look like a just giant robotic centaur?
Fine. How about a Towers of Rage? Tower of Rage.
Tower of Rage.
It's a thing.
I'd go with a tumbling tower, more like.
Sure. So, okay. And my response to that was, that's ridiculous. You would never be able to do it.
I think there are more expletives, but yeah.
Okay, that was fucking ridiculous. You'll never be able to do that. Because the accumulated weight of all the centaurs would just crush the one on the bottom.
Okay, so you spread it out like a pyramid. I didn't say it had to be mobile.
And then they'd have to be incredibly coordinated to be able to move.
Yeah, the horses school up like fishes. You didn't know that?
Really? They all work with one mind?
Yeah.
Like, they have hive mind? Alright, so what did Jeremy Crawford say about this on the Sage Advice?
Alright, this is a quote from RPG Stack Exchange that I got it from. It says, a Twitter user said, just so you know, the hashtag D&D Hivemind has already decided that a medium centaur can ride a centaur riding a centaur, riding a centaur. The puzzle is solved. It's centaurs all the way down. Crawford said, if your DM decides that a medium creature actually means a tower of medium creatures, that's amazingly trippy, English-defying campaign you're playing, living the dream. It goes on, says, doesn't that still mean that a centaur can ride another centaur? Crawford says, the rules on riding a mount specify that a mount must have a suitable size and anatomy for you to ride it. Player's Handbook, page 198. If the game makes an exception to part of that rule, about the creature's size, for instance, the other part of the rule still stands.
Okay.
So, yeah.
As a DM, I would not allow that.
And okay. If I was DMing, I would say that's fucking awesome and rule of cool it away.
I'm all for the rule of cool. That's not rule of cool.
It is, though.
No, that's rule of ridiculous.
Same thing.
No, okay. The rule of cool is so that if one of your players comes up with a cool idea...
Like a stack of centaurs?
A cool idea that is, like, you know, jumping off a balcony onto, like, a horse or like whatever, like using a bridge that's spanning a chasm and it's falling down and using it to swing across the chasm while like fighting, then yeah, you go for it and you like.
But that's not what rule of cool means. Rule of cool means there's a certain rule that you're breaking, but it's cool, so the DM allows it.
Fair enough.
That rule of cool. So the only thing that I'd be breaking is physics.
Yeah.
It's the small thing, physics.
Physics.
So would you say is there any, limit to the amount of centaurs you could put on it? Or would you say, you could just pile as many?
Once the air starts getting too thin for the centaurs to breathe, I can imagine it'd be difficult, but...
But, okay, how about this? How are the centaurs supposed to climb on top? Once it gets...
Magic exists! Levitate.
Well, you have to have someone who can actually use levitate.
Oh, like a centaur mage or a druid?
Would you, you would try and get your entire party to all be centaurs just so you could do this at some point?
No, but if I was a DM, I'd totally have it as a big, bad, evil guy.
Stacked centaurs?
You're walking through the woods and you stumble on this village that is like a horde of cannibalistic tribesmen centaurs. And they go, oh, shit, we're going to kill you and eat you now. And they form up into Centaur Voltron.
Okay, and are there rules? So in Tomb of Annihilation, you guys haven't seen this yet, but the Batiri actually can fight in stacks. Up to, I believe it's 9 high.
Okay.
So they stand on top of each other. But only the one on the bottom can move. He moves and does some of the ability checks. And the one on the top is the one that fights. All the other ones don't do anything.
Okay, so we'll call that for the centaurs too. 9 high. The one at the bottom makes checks, probably at a disadvantage. I'll give you that one. And the one at the top, and maybe the one underneath him. Because their fronts are all facing out.
Yeah. Or would you go front to back and then just keep...
No, that's weird.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. because you have to sit on their back. You can't sit on the front of a centaur.
But doesn't a centaur have 4 legs?
Yes. So you have to have the 4 legs over the horse part of the body.
Yeah, it would have to be astride them, not standing on them.
Right.
Okay, basically you're just making a big stack of they're basically just hugging each other repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then how can they do anything if they're just, they're staring at the person in back of their head?
Well, that's why only the one on top can fight and the one on the bottom moves and then the rest of them don't do anything.
They provide a height advantage, which in 5e it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it'd be cool as all. I'm not saying it's effective or useful. I'm just saying it's possible.
Right, I'll give you that. Maybe it's possible. I would, yes. if I were to allow it, I'd probably put a limit on it. Just because centaurs have to be fucking heavy, right? So it can get the centaur can carry one size bigger than it, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, one size larger.
Yep.
So once you add 2 or 3 centaurs onto it, it's going to be maxed out. It's not going to be able to even move, really. And therein lies the problem.
So what does that mean, though? You count as one size larger
for carrying capacity.
Right.
And it can carry a medium or smaller creature.
Okay, so basically for every size category you are above medium, your load capacity doubles. So if they count as large, they could hold 2 centaurs.
Yeah, okay. So I'll give you maybe... And then if one more... If you had 3 centaurs on the back, then it would be encumbered, presumably. Yeah. But even then, a horse is fucking heavy, man. Even a large creature can't carry, 2 tons.
Well, it all depends on their strength score.
Yeah, I suppose. That's true.
So if you have a 20 strength centaur...
Yeah, then we get... What is it? Plus 4 at 20?
Yep. And even then, give him a belt of giant strength and...
Oh, well, now you're assuming your DM's going to give you a belt of giant strength.
No, not you. The big bad enemy guy.
Ah, yeah.
You're the DM. Give him whatever you want.
That's true. What if you're cast enlarge on the lower centaur?
What if I made a monk who was really good at jumping around and could cast enlarge on himself for no reason?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be useful?
To ride a centaur? Or to have a centaur riding him?
No, just in general. Would it be useful?
Yeah? Make Ant-Man.
You didn't think of that when Snow was playing his character. That was basically that.
Yeah, well, Snow never used enlarge.
I don't think we ever got that far.
No, I don't think you guys got past like third level. All right, so it looks like tonight's game is either going to be late or not going to happen.
The streak is broken.
Wah, wah.
Very much so.
All right, so how about we make a villain?
Okay. Misunderstood troll.
Misunderstood troll?
Yeah.
But that he's not a villain. We decided
no, he's not a villain. That's
he's
true.
He's actually the good guy.
He was the good guy. Poor guy.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Villains. All right, I need one of you to roll a d8.
Acting like I have actual dice.
Just roll it. If you have roll 20, open, just roll it on that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a d8 here. 2.
All right. Now a d4.
Okay.
4.
4?
Hey, I also got 4.
Ooh. Hex. All right. So the villain's scheme is to place a pawn in a position of power.
Like a misunderstood troll?
Like a misunderstood troll.
It's all the mermaid's fault. They're putting him in this power. They killed his wife. They put him in this power. They knew it'd go to his head.
What if his wife isn't actually dead?
What if his wife just left him?
What if the troll has a very particular set of skills? All right, so his villain scheme is to put someone in a position of power. Put a pawn, like someone you can manipulate.
Is this basically in the DM? DMG?
Yeah, it's on page 94. All right, so he's going into a pawn in a position of power. Now, we have to figure out his methods.
Butt stuff.
Butt stuff?
Yeah. All right,
someone roll a d20.
8.
All right, now roll a d8.
5.
Ooh, his methods are execution by drawing and quartering.
Yikes.
Hot.
A la Braveheart.
Yeah. So I guess when you cross this guy, you get fucked up. Drawing and quartering. All right. Next, villain's weakness.
Sarcasm.
So you're sarcastic to her. He's just like, oh my god, I can't handle this. She just gives up. Whatever, Mr. Bad Guy. All right, I need a d8.
8.
8. Ooh, the villain loses its power if a mystic bargain it struck long ago is completed.
What?
Yeah, so I guess it's almost like a lich.
Only if it's got a phylactery.
All right, so what kind of... So now we got to pick the villain class options. Okay, so we got Cleric, Death Domain, Paladin, Oathbreaker. Really, that's it?
Yeah.
That's it for the class options? Well, that's... Oh, I guess these are just extra class options.
Yeah.
Who is this villain? What are we doing with him? Our adventurers have gone and settled the problem with the troll. The water in the town is receding. Is the villain like a person in power in the town, or like does he have like somebody a pawn in power in town?
Yeah, I think the troll should have been like a ruse for this guy, and this guy's wanted to get rid of the troll to create like subterfuge and whatnot.
Okay, or me, yeah. So like he wants to get rid of the he wanted to get rid of the troll to. Like he was hoping the adventurers would kill the troll. This is assuming that the adventurers, like, because the adventurers have two ways to go. They can either kill the troll right away, assuming it's bad, or they end up talking to the troll and realizing that the merfolk are the ones who killed the troll's she-troll.
Exactly.
And maybe the troll was building the dam to, like, try and trap the merfolk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe this villain is, like,
What if the floodwaters revealed the entrance to a hidden tomb that awakened this guy?
Ooh.
When they receded, they found ancient ruins and the outskirts are close by the village.
Yeah. So, like, it's revealed when the floodwaters, like, recede, or...?
Yeah, when they recede.
Okay.
And you come back and the town is dreary and desolate and...
More so than having hordes of homeless people running around?
Well, yeah, because the hordes are all gone. And there's some corpses lying in the ground. And everyone just... them without looking, because they were Made an example of.
Made an example of.
All right. Ooh, someone had a rough day.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
All right, so this what class is this villain going to be?
Like, what, maniacal. What would be
a maniacal class?
Maniacal class.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Well, there's two.
I kind of like Death Domain Cleric.
Okay, what does that give us?
Proficiency with martial weapons.
Yep. Reaper, at first level, the cleric learns one necromancy cantrip of his or her choice from any spell list. Ooh.
Ooh, double the creatures within 5 range, within 5 feet of each other. Oh, look at its channel divinity, though.
Touch of Death. Starting at second level, the cleric can use channel divinity to destroy another creature's life force by touch. Oh, shit.
Which is what he did to the homeless beggars.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so we'll make him a cleric of the Death Domain.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. So, and then these ruins that he, that the floodwater, when the floodwaters recede, they uncover ruins.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's roll a d20 and see who created this. This will be the dungeon crawl of the adventure.
Literally, page 99 is adventure environments for a dungeon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so.
Well, okay, so we kind of know where.
Oh, it is. So you're skipping a couple. Gotcha.
Yeah, because we know where the location is. We know this town is a mountain town, so we're probably going to be in like a mountain pass or
Quiet Mountain Village.
Quiet Mountain Village. This is gonna be it's gonna be Chef when he comes back from the dead.
Hey there, children.
So yeah, we'll say it's like in a mountain pass or in a gorge or something. Okay. All right, so let's roll a d20 and see who created these ruins for before.
I got a 5. Dwarves.
Dwarves. That makes sense.
Always on the doors.
So maybe it's like a ruins of an old dwarven mine. Someone's rocking their speedy car. So dwarves, cults, and religious groups.
That's if you rolled a 2 or 2 or 4.
Yeah. All right. Dungeon purpose.
To mess with the players.
Well, obviously. All right. So a d20 for the dungeon purpose.
7.
Mine. It's a mine.
Well, that makes complete sense, doesn't it?
Well, miners who delve too deep can break through into the Underdark.
Yeah, an abandoned mine can quickly become infested with monsters, while miners who delve too deep can break through into the Underdark. All right, and then I'm going to roll this d20 to find out the dungeon history. 20. Sight of a great miracle. Ooh, that's interesting. What would the miracle be?
Oh, what? Okay, here's my idea.
All right.
So, great miracle happens. Some ancient hero was brought back to life. Yada yada. Backstory, plot, bullshit. And then one of the neutral gods of Balad said, well, if this great thing happened here, this terrible thing should also happen here. So he made a death cleric.
A death cleric, he wants to take over the mine?
No, he wants to take over the world. Come on now.
Well, fair enough.
Why stop at the mine? Well, have you ever been in a mine? It's terrible. It's dark, it's cramped.
All right, so this mine, the dwarves obviously either did they abandon it, or were the dwarves like wiped out by something? Do you think they dug too deep and uncovered like a?
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah. A miracle doesn't have to be a good thing, does it? Mm. I don't know the strict definition of the word miracle.
It doesn't necessarily. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a good thing. I don't think.
A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by nature or scientific laws, and therefore is considered to be the work of a divine agency.
So, yes.
Right. So, yes, it is a good thing.
Yeah, all any right. Beneficial event.
So, what would the miracle be then?
Ooh, what if it's the sealing away of this death cleric? An ancient band of adventurers sacrificed their lives to seal the unnamed villain.
We can
away. Instead of go ahead.
Call it a calamity. Calamity is not necessarily a good thing, but it describes the same thing, but it doesn't have
It's not necessarily good or bad.
Yeah.
Probably leans more towards bad.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a, we'll call it a calamity then. That kind of fits more to our story.
Yeah.
All right, so the great calamity would be, oh, maybe maybe this was like, maybe this death domain cleric was like buried. Maybe he's undead. Like maybe he was buried there like thousands of years ago, and then the dwarves accidentally uncovered him, or somebody uncovered the tomb and brought him back to life and wiped out everybody in the dungeon.
And in wiping out the dungeon, he sealed himself in.
Yeah.
Because if the dwarves awoken him, he would have played out long ago.
That's true. Let's see. I think there's a rollable table of evil things, like calamities. World-shaking events.
Cataclysm.
Yeah, cataclysmic disaster. So maybe there's something else in that mind that the Death Domain cleric's trying to get to. Maybe there's a cataclysmic disaster that shut off this like mind from the rest of the world. And there's something in there that the cleric's trying to get to.
Okay. That sounds good.
He's a Death Domain cleric. Maybe he's like a cultist for a vampire or something.
Or a lich. Lord.
Or a lich. All right. Let's roll a d6. 1 to 2. He's a cultist for a vampire. 3 to 4, cultist for a lich. And 5 to 6, a cultist for a mummy lord.
I got a 3.
You got a 3?
Yep.
So, lich.
Score.
Which means these characters have to get up to, like, level 20 to be able to fight this guy.
Well, no.
No, because
because he's trying to unlock the lich. So if they fuck around, they're going to get obliterated by the lich.
But if they go right after him, they can stop him before he raises the lich.
So we'll take several long rests right before the final room. Yeah, complete the ritual. All
right. So we have this villain, this Death Domain cleric. What race is he going to be?
Yep.
That's his race?
Yep.
All right. So I think some other stuff's going to have to happen in between the troll and this.
Yeah.
To get them to realize that this is going on and that they'll have to chase this guy, right?
Right.
All right, so let's roll. Well, okay, so the adventurers come back from stopping the troll, either killing him or talking to him and stopping the merfolk. What about the merfolk? Look, what happens if they kill the troll and take apart the dam? Because presumably they're going to take apart the dam, because that's like the...
what they were...
yeah, that's like their goal. But what happens with the merfolk? If they kill the troll, what happens to them? And if they don't kill the troll and the troll says the merfolk killed his lady friend, what happens? What's going on with these merfolk? Do you think the adventurers are going to go back and like...
It's hard to fight merfolk, though.
It is, kind of. Yeah, because you have to fight them underwater, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a Tempest cleric, then you just shock the water.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I guess you could shock the water. Do they have any... No, they don't. It doesn't seem like they have any resistance to electricity or anything. I would imagine they'd be...
Salt water is an excellent conductor as well.
Well, this wouldn't be salt water, though. It's a river. It'd probably be fresh water.
Well, then they're not merfolk.
But we said they were merfolk.
They'd be water nymphs.
Well, it depends how close it is to the ocean. Maybe it's like a large cavern that like leads out to the ocean, so it could be salt water under there. You know what I mean? Like if they have, like there's this small cavern where the clans want to meet the merfolk, but maybe their kingdom is in this like giant underground cavern, like underwater cavern, mm-hmm. and it leads out to the ocean. I mean, it's just where they're
hidden. They could find potions of water breathing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like part of it to keep them in it if they were to go against these merfolk.
Yeah, they can do that. They might just say, okay, we'll put these guys on the back burner and come back later. Or maybe they'll just be like, fuck it, this is between the troll and the merfolk. They could maybe just assume that there's nothing wrong and that the merfolk are decent and that's that. They've saved the kidnapped merfolk princess or whoever, and then returned her. They should probably get a reward there. They return the Merfolk princess.
Yeah.
So maybe they get like some sort of reward for that, and then they go about their business. Go back to the town, find out that it's all like the waters have receded, and these ruins of this old dwarven mine have like been uncovered by the receding waters. And then presumably they're going to be like, oh shit, look, old ruins. Let's go explore. Because that's what players do.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that we, like these old mines, I think that maybe the Death Domain cleric should actually be, I think it's the players who should like revive him. Like maybe it was a Death Domain cleric who was like trying to become a lich and was cursed and buried there long ago. Like kind of like the mummy. He was cursed and buried there long ago, and then they unwittingly like release him, and then after that they have to stop him until before he gains like full strength. I think that works.
Definitely.
So now we have part two. We'd have to build the dungeon. I think that's a show for another day. But
oh, yeah.
Where's the NPC tables? Let's find out what this guy looks like.
89.
Thank you. There we go. All right, appearance. D20, please.
13.
13.
Bald.
Bald. Okay, so he's a bald cleric.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. Well, we still haven't decided what race he's going to be.
Except, so
automatically be bald.
Whatever my character's name was.
Yeah. You had a cleric, didn't you? No, you didn't have a cleric.
Yeah, I did. Storm cleric.
Yeah, Tempest. The Thor lover.
Oh, yeah.
He loved alcohol. Thor was just, there.
You created Thor's Day. All right. So he's bald. Let's see what his high ability is. Roll a d6.
3.
His high ability is Constitution.
That's kind of boring.
What's his low ability? Another d6.
6.
6. Charisma. Okay, so he's not very charismatic, but that's fine.
Charisma can be a dumb stat for clerics.
Yeah. What's their spellcasting ability?
Wisdom.
Oh, okay. All right, talents. I'm going to roll a d20. 4. Perfect memory. Ooh, so if he wakes up, he'll remember everything that happened. That would be cool. Mannerisms. All right, Jenny, roll a d20 for me.
All right. 3.
Particularly low or high voice.
Which is why he's not charismatic.
Exactly.
Oh. I'm a Death Domain cleric. I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to take over the world. That'd be hilarious. You wouldn't be able to take him seriously if he had like a super high voice.
And then he touches you and deals like 30 necrotic damage and you die instantly.
Feel my wrath, bitch!
Yes, queen, slay!
Yeah, it'd be like this like gnarled, like undead clerics comes back to life.
All the players like, that oh, dude that throws glitter.
He's like, party time!
It's party time!
He sounds like Mr. Hanky. Alright, interactions with others. NPC interaction traits. Let's roll a d12.
3.
Blustering. So he's a little full of himself, too.
I'm the greatest!
I'm the greatest! And yes, this is my real hair! He's like really full of himself, so he wears like a
really bad toupee.
A really bad toupee. Pick an evil ideal for him. 1. Domination. That works.
Yep.
Okay, someone else roll a d6.
5.
Chaotic ideal. Is it going to be lawful or chaotic?
Chaotic.
Chaotic?
No limits.
Well, okay. I mean, if he's drawing and quartering, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Then, I guess, do we need a neutral or other ideal?
If no.
He's chaotic evil? No. Right?
No.
All right, so does he have any bonds? Let's roll a d10 for his bonds.
James Bond.
Captivated by a romantic interest.
Captivated by romantic interest. So maybe if there's like a female in the party, he's like falls in love with her.
Or a male, don't judge.
Or a male, fair enough. We haven't even said if this Death Domain cleric if this villain is a man yet. Could be a woman.
He could be neither. He could gender fluid.
Yeah, don't assume his gender. I'm creating him.
Oh, all
right. Flaws.
We just offended so many people.
That's okay. Only six people listen to this. And I'm pretty sure four of them play our game.
Well, I haven't listened to the second or third podcast, so make it three people.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, you can't start off the podcast going, I just watched the new Infinity Wars, and here's what, and I was like, nope, I'm out.
You still haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, dude. It's going to be out of theaters by the time it's like...
That's fine. I'm going to go buy Black Panther tomorrow and watch it on my PlayStation.
Is it coming out tomorrow?
I saw it in Netflix, in Walmart.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Let's roll a D12 for his flaws.
I got a 10.
Secret crime or misdeed?
Oh, 11. Can we go with 11 instead?
Yes. Possession of forbidden lore.
Oh, I thought that said love. That works too, but... I was like, why do they have forbidden love on there twice? But
okay, so this guy is... He was entombed in this mine for probably crimes he committed, like trying to take over the world and like murdering people and stuff. And
as you do.
Raising the dead. Because he's a death domain cleric, so he's for sure he's trying to raise an army of zombies or undead. So what's
actually, I don't think death domain raises the dead. I think they just kill people.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, so he's necromancer. Never mind.
Yeah, so he's a necromancer.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he like, say, a couple hundred years ago or a thousand years ago, he was trying to raise an army of undead. So he was entombed in this long-forgotten mine.
You're a zombie, and you're a skeleton.
Everybody gets zombies! So what's this forbidden lore that he's in possession of?
How to become a lich. Done. Yeah. Boom.
Do we need to be a wizard to become a lich?
Wow. Maybe he knows the secret how to become a lich as a cleric.
All right. He knows the location of the Necronomicon.
Let's get Ash in here with his boomstick.
Not anymore. It was canceled. I haven't finished watching
Community.
Season 3 of that. No, I haven't finished watching Community either. I've seen Community already. But I haven't finished watching season 3 of Ash vs. the Evil Dead. All right, so he has forbidden lore of how to become a lich, or like knows the location of something that will let him become a lich.
He knows the location of a MacGuffin.
Yeah. So what's the MacGuffin?
What if it's actually the Necronomicon?
That could work. Like, that's fine. Like, if it's an ancient magic or something that like has all these spells on how to release demons into the world and stuff. And, like, give him, what's that word? You know, where you live forever?
Immortality.
That's the one. Yeah. It's like an ancient spell book of dark magic that can release demons and devils into the world and gives them immortality. It's basically the Necronomicon.
While being legally similar.
It's just a book covered in human skin with spells that release demons into the world. And to make sure it doesn't happen, you have to say Klaatu Virata Nikto.
As you do.
You know, basically say them all. Like, close enough. Cool. Alright, so we have a pretty good NPC, evil NPC here. We still haven't decided on his race. I think he should be a turtle.
Yes.
That works.
You really?
Yes. Yep.
I was joking, but you guys are really into that idea.
Yep.
Alright. Okay, so he's going to be a
turtle cleric.
A turtle death domain cleric that's trying to unleash darkness into this world.
With a high voice.
With a high
voice. So basically the opposite of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, what if this is your campaign with the turtle party?
Oh, yeah. It might be a little dark to run with a bunch of 9-year-olds, but...
Nah. They got to grow up sometime, right?
That's true. I'm still trying to convince my son to watch Deadpool, so... Although, like, I have no problem with him watching Deadpool. It's just violence and swearing.
There was a picture going around Facebook of a mom that, like, started a petition to get a PG-13 Deadpool made for little kids to watch. And Ryan Reynolds replied, "Don't let your fucking kid watch this movie, and there's no fucking way we're gonna do it."
Yeah, really? You can't, like, how would you, like...
You'd have to make it campy like the old Batmans, and that wouldn't... It would be horrible.
It could still be violent, you just have to take out all the violence. you'd have to take out all the sex. All the sex. There's like only a couple of minutes of like a sex montage.
I'm sorry, a what?
Sex montage.
A what?
You've never had a sex montage?
I've had a sex montage.
You've had a sex montage? Hey man, I speak French. It's montage. Actually, probably right. Montage. Whatever, you know what I'm saying. So like, you'd have to take all that out, and then it would just not be a good movie. It'd also be like 20 minutes long. But
which was about the attention span of a 9-year-old. You're in.
Yeah, basically. All right, so we actually have a good... So they unleash this Death Domain cleric onto the world, and then it's a race to find this book before he does, and they'd have to like destroy it, I guess.
Or use it against him.
Yeah. What language would it be written in?
Draconic.
Why Ooh. Draconic?
Because why not? Like, don't ask a question if you don't want dumb answers.
Abyssal makes sense.
Or Infernal.
Or Infernal. Would it be demons or devils that it's releasing into the world?
I know there's like a specific difference.
There is, and they war against each other. I think, all right, let's look this up. I'm not getting up to go for my Monster Man.
That's why Google's a thing.
I think the demons just look cooler.
Demons tend to be chaotic, where devils tend to be lawful.
Well, then I think demons works better. Like, because he's a chaotic, evil turtle.
How many times you get to say that in your life?
Yeah, really. So he just basically wants to unleash chaotic darkness into the world and become a king. Maybe he's trying to like become the lord of the demons on Earth.
Alright, so according to Reddit, devils are the ones making they're a hybrid of a politician and tactician. There aren't too many of them, only 9 hells after all, compared to demons' infinite abyss layers, but they leverage everything they've got. Demons, on the other hand, just show up en masse and they try brute force. Demons are the brute presence strong in combat. Devils are the steel web of lies and deceit that cause you to wish you were dead. Source Planescape 2.0e.
What do you think? What would work better for this?
I think demons, because he's trying to summon up like hordes of...
Yeah, I think that works too. So he's trying to unleash all these demons into this world. And it's up to the party to stop them. This could be the main story, and they do be side quests and everything, but it's like a race against time to like stop this guy while he's relatively low level. So like if you were to like build him and make him like a see after we said that it's like after the troll adventure and everything, it'd be like 4th level. So if you're looking at like 5th to 10th level, so it'd be a race against time, but like they'd have to go to all these different like piece together clues from all these different, or he's collecting. He has to collect like different pieces of this book because it's been scattered all over the place. So he has to go to like all these different dungeons. So it's just like a series of dungeon crawls.
What if he doesn't know where it is? So he's just going around searching all the places he thought it might be.
But doesn't he have an epic memory?
Shut up.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's got an epic... He has a perfect memory. Yeah.
Well, maybe things have changed in the thousands of years he was entombed.
Fair enough.
Maybe he didn't specifically know its exact location. Maybe he just had like a bunch of clues or different places that he needed to explore to find out its exact location. Like there's clues scattered around all these old dungeons and tombs and
whose clues?
Blue's clues.
Oh, what if they have to go into a painting?
They have to go into a painting?
Blue Skadoon, you can too.
Or if they have to, like, follow him onto into a different plane?
Yes.
You know, that would be kind of cool. Let's see. What plane could they have? Ooh, maybe it's in the Shadowfell. Maybe they have to go to the Shadowfell to find it. That'd be kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played in a different plane of existence.
Me either.
That'd be kind of cool.
I have, but there were drugs involved.
Well,
which is a joke.
It's a joke.
Employers listening, I don't do drugs.
He has to like find like a planar portal that's in like some dungeon. But he's not sure which dungeon's in.
Well, they wouldn't have. They wouldn't have been dungeons to him. They would have been, like,
at the time they wouldn't have been
places.
Like, yeah, theoretically. Yeah, I think he would have to go to like either like the probably the Shadowfell. I think the Shadowfell would be cool. Plane of Fire, Plane of Earth.
So I found my next character class.
Yeah.
On D&D Beyond.
Okay. And what is it?
I linked it in Discord because.
Linking it in Discord is not good for a podcast.
It's an anime swordsman.
Anime swordsman? This is a homebrew, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
When you choose this archetype at third level, as a bonus action on your turn, you can loudly and deliberately make a long-winded monologue aimed at a creature explaining exactly how you've just gained the upper hand and have been holding back in some ridiculous and obscure way. Make a charisma, intimidation, or performance check contested by the target's passive wisdom. If you succeed, you have advantage on all melee attacks you make against the creature until the end of your current turn. You automatically fail if the target can't hear or understand you.
That should be, like, a thing for villains.
At 10th level, when rolling, it's called... The trait is called plot armor.
Okay.
Starting at 10th level, when rolling for death saving throws, you only suffer one failure when rolling a 1, and you gain one hit point on a roll of 19 or 20.
What? That's crazy.
And then at 18th level, you get a ridiculously impractical ultimate attack, where, as an action, you can make a single melee attack against a creature with extra anime power. A massive explosion forms on the power of your convictions and monologues, and each creature in a 40-foot radius from your target, excluding yourself, must make a dex saving throw. The sphere spreads around corners. A creature takes 20d6 fire damage, 20d6 bludgeoning damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one. If your attack hits, the target takes the damage as normal and makes it save against the explosion at disadvantage. Once you use this feature, you must complete a long rest before you can use it again.
This is like, there's no way you'd be able to play this.
To be fair, it's 18th level.
Okay, yeah, but still, 20d6 and 20d6 fire and 20d6 bludgeoning, so you're doing 40d6?
Yeah.
Alright, so...
Tell me how not broken that is.
That's totally broken. What would be the max damage on that?
480?
480?
Six, like 6 times 2... No. 240. Because 6 times 2 is 12. Add a 0 is 120 plus times 2 is 240.
So that's instant kill on a lot of things.
How about a Tarrasque?
I know the Tarrasque CR is 30.
Would that one-shot Tiamat?
Tiamat's a god. No, a Tarrasque has 676 hit points.
Oh.
Give or take, depending on what the DM decides to do. But it gives you 155,000 XP. So that's something to look forward to. Yeah, I don't think Anime Swordsman is... It's floating monologue, haunted yet convenient past. Power of friendship, untapped potential. Starting at 15th level, your extra attack feature now applies to all reaction attacks, such as ready action attacks and attacks of opportunity. Okay. Well, I mean, it'd be fun, but you'd have to be running like that kind of campaign.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, you could totally use that in Tomb of Annihilation.
You'd have to run what Shadowrun calls a pink mohawk.
A pink mohawk?
Yeah. Shadowrun, there's 3 different styles of Shadowrun.
Okay.
There's pink mohawk, black trench coat, and mirror shades. Pink mohawk is like super over the top, like your troll is standing on top of your van while it's speeding down the road, launching autocannon rounds off at a helicopter.
Okay.
Black trench coat is the more realistic.
Yeah.
Like you make a plan, you stick to the plan. If everything goes right, you get out. Yeah. And mirror shades is the combination of the two.
Sorry, guys. My dog decided that it now would be a perfect time to go and dig in the garbage.
Oh,
sounds fun. I mean, it's always the perfect time for that.
She is now in timeout.
Well, you know, you have to show these kids who's boss.
Right.
Right.
Right. Did you see the next class that I'm going to play?
No. No, I was not.
I linked it in Discord. It's the best class I've ever seen.
It's the anime swordsman.
Nice.
All right. So just from actual published stuff, what's the next class you want to play?
Druid.
Druid? Have you ever played a druid?
Pathfinder for like 2 sessions. But I want to be a druid because I'm going to go Circle of the Moon so I can have crazy, ridiculous shapeshifting.
That's cool.
Because once you shapeshift into a creature, you get that creature's hit points as temporary hit points.
Okay. Like,
Then once if you lose all those hit points, you go back to your normal self with all your normal hit points.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Especially against you. try dropping 2 health bars.
Yeah.
Because you can barely do 1.
That's pretty good. What about you, Jenny? You played a ranger so far.
Yeah, I like ranger. I'm pretty one-sided. I don't like spellcasting. It scares me. And the only thing I'd ever maybe think of is maybe druid. But also spellcasting scares me. So yeah, there's that. And I don't like getting hit because I get a little too nervous about losing all my points and dying. So
you don't have to worry about that when Tristan DMs.
Hey man, one day, you guys keep saying that, one day one of you die.
Hey, I have never taunted the DM about not being able to hit. I have never complained about that. And I have been hit, so this is all on my man over there.
That's true. I mean, when one of you eventually does die, I mean, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. But I'm also going to be like, fucking finally.
Understandable.
So far, it hasn't been too bad. You've taken a couple of hits, but...
Yeah, I've taken a couple of licks before.
Well, yeah, you're knocked out. You're
like
knocked out
once.
Yes, I had to save you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, the DM killed me at first level. Didn't even kill me. He knocked me unconscious at first level. It's so hard with my 10 hit points.
Oh, just wait.
I've got 33 now. Bring it.
Oh, maybe I will.
Oh, what's that? TMI swoops in and attacks the party. What is she doing in Chult? No one knows.
It doesn't matter. Tiamat's a dragon of the world. Tiamat can go wherever she wants. She's like, whatever, I do what I want.
No, I really like the druid class. Like, the idea behind it.
Do you guys, when you make your characters, do you ever, like, try and, like, come up with a theme for them? Or is it just like, this is a class playing and this is...
No, I try and come up with, like, a central theme to them.
Yeah, Ines is pretty much me.
Like,
But Ines can shoot a bow and arrow, and I can barely walk 10 feet without falling on my face. So, you know, there's that.
You don't have to walk when you shoot a bow and arrow. Exactly. You stand still.
Yeah.
You can do it.
She just scrambles up things and then hangs out there.
My cleric was all about getting drunk and hitting things with lightning.
Yeah, I remember, so he was basically Thor.
Yeah, but like, not Marvel Thor.
Mm-mm. Like, real Thor.
Speaking of, I beat the new God of War. And it's basically Kratos kills the Norse pantheon now.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Well, he doesn't kill the entire pantheon in the game.
Spoiler alert. God. All right, that's it. We're talking about Infinity War.
Goodbye.
You gotta watch that.
I have to see it with my parents, and my schedules don't align.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, well, it works crazy.
It was really good.
It was.
I've heard it ends on a pretty big cliffhanger too.
Mm-hmm. Batman shows up.
Yep. Sylvester Stallone's literally hanging up.
Oh yeah.
Get it? Cliffhanger?
Yeah, I got it.
You're not.
There is precedent for DC Marvel crossover.
Yeah, there's like 2 series of comics about for it.
There's a character whose power it is to keep up, whose job it is to keep them separate.
Is there really?
You don't. Yeah, he's in that series of comics.
I'll be honest, I didn't read the series because it came out. That was last time they did it. I think last time they did it was I wasn't reading comics. At the time they did it before that was when I was a kid. So there's a large space in between where I didn't read comics that often, or at least didn't like buy them very often. So I wasn't like on the whole events and stuff. Even now, I don't really read event comics anymore either.
Access is a Marvel and DC character that is in charge of preventing the universes from merging into one.
Is he a lawyer?
No.
Does he have a briefcase? His like, weapon?
You're not allowed to enter here unless you sign on this line and give us royalties.
He was a teenager living in New York City when Axel Asher encountered a strange old homeless man in an alley who revealed what seemed to be a cardboard box but was in fact a portal between universes. The vagrant stated that Axel was next in line to bear the powers and responsibilities of being the Access. This happens because they were originally one universe that split in two when the brothers first fought. Certain fragments of the original universe remained. The box was one of them, the Access was another.
Ah. So he met Stan Lee in an alley, and
yep.
Stan Lee's like, step into this box, true believer.
Excelsior!
Well, that's cool. I gotta read up on that.
So it's not a very big character.
He was in four books. Yeah, it doesn't show up very often, obviously. But, like, how often do you guys read comics? Like, weekly? You
don't. No. I used to be a much more avid comic reader, but it got expensive.
It did. Like, I spent a good, probably like 4 or 5 years recently, like, just buying comics to, like, the point where, like, I was spending, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I was spending, like, about $200 a month on comics. And I was like,
that's crazy.
It was. Like, I had a pull list, but then I'd go to the store and I'd be like, oh, well, I might as well pick up, like, the Future Foundation and this one and that one. And I don't generally read Thor, but I'll probably pick up Thor God of Thunder. And I'll have to buy the whole run because I'm not going to stop reading it in the middle. So then I got to a point where, like, they just kept going up in price. Like, they were like $2.99, yeah. And then $3.99, then $4.99. I'm like, fuck this. So I stopped buying them. I still buy, like, graphic novels every once in a while, but
occasionally I'll buy those books that are, like, a run combined.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, I've got,
like, the trade paperbacks where it's, like, 6 issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the certain ones they put together. Like, on my bookshelf right now, I've got Marvel, The Death of Captain America, Captain America Road to Reborn, New Avengers Secret Invasion, Marvel Zombies, Ultimate X-Men Ultimate Collection, Harley Quinn's Greatest Hits, and Suicide Squad.
Okay. I got in just as when DC did the New 50. So I was like, fuck it, I'm getting back in.
Yeah, I wanted to, but then I didn't.
And then, like, from there, just expanded. I was like, okay,
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm. This is too much. And then, like, every other week was another event. It's like, oh, so now I have to buy like 6 more books.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that. They just make it too expensive. And then, like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go digital instead. But digital's not any cheaper.
Mm-mm.
Generally, like, Comixology, once in a while they have like their 99-cent sale. Even then, it's like, it's too much. So now I just, like, every once in a while I'll buy like a trade paperback or something like that. But for the most part, I'm out. Just can't do it. Even though I liked the Amazing Spider-Man when
me too.
Like, when Doc Octopus, yes, took over Peter Parker's body.
That was awesome.
That was great. He's like such an asshole.
He really was. It was fantastic. I really like that run. I have the trades of that one.
I have every single issue from that.
Nice.
Like, all the build up. Like, I have like Spider-Man. And I forget what it's called. Went into whatever the next event, and then went into the Doc Ock one. I have like all of them in singles. And that was awesome. Like, I loved it. That and Thor, God of Thunder, are my two favorites for the last like while.
Just because I liked Fat Man, the Court of Owls. I thought that was pretty
good. That was cool. That was very cool. But God of Thunder was so weird. Like, it was like Jason Aaron, like the writer. He does. I don't know if he still does Star Wars, but he did Star Wars for a while. like it's like Thor on three different timelines of his life, and he like there's like one point where they're on like all three Thors from these different timelines are on a boat in space.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
They get attacked by something, and Thor grabs a space shark and hits it in the face. Like, just swings the space shark. I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this book? Like, the idea was kind of cool, because the guy who's trying to, he's killing all these, like, all these gods. Like, he's killing every god of all these different, so it's kind of cool. But, like, it was just, it got really crazy. Like, Spider-Man was, I loved Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man was greatest run ever.
So I forgot the two newest books that I picked up, like, about a month ago.
Yeah.
Astonishing Thor and Radioactive Spider-Gwen.
I tried Spider-Gwen. I couldn't get into it.
I never read Spider-Gwen.
Well, I started reading this, but it's, like, halfway into, like, her story arc.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay. I'm going to wait till I can pick up
the trade. Yeah. I can't wait for the Jean Grey. I'm waiting for Payday, but I would like to get the new Phoenix Rises one. That just came out. They did a reboot of
the Phoenix story.
Phoenix. Yeah.
Cool. Did you guys read Spider? Did you read Spider-Man? Was it Spider? No. Spider-Verse. Yeah, I think it was Spider. I can't remember. Spider-Man was the one where Peter Parker goes to the Ultimate Spider-Man universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other one. There is the Spider-Verse, where it's like every Spider-Man, like every incarnation of Spider-Man. So it had like the 60s TV series Spider-Man in it. It had Spider-Man 2099. I heard about
that one.
It had Spider-Ham in it.
Yeah.
And they're all working together to like, because they're all getting killed off one by one. That was really good too. I like that one. Well, it looks like our track record for playing Tomb of Annihilation has come to an end, guys.
Indeed.
I know.
That's disappointing.
It is.
Next week.
Here's hoping.
Because I want to finish. Like, I want to play this start to finish. I don't want to stop in the middle and be like, oh, that fell apart.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like, it's going to get good.
Yeah.
I hope it's going to get good, or it's going to be a lot of just jungle exploration. You guys not getting lost.
Yeah. Ranger.
That was, like, one of the things I was looking forward to is, like, you get lost. Tell them they're lost and they just keep going in a different direction and they're all fucked up. And you're like, oh, by the way, I can't get lost. Oh, really?
You can actually get lost canoeing.
Yeah, you can.
Wait, I did. You cut out. What'd you say?
He said you can get lost canoeing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand how.
Tributaries. Little side streams. Like if a stream, if the river splits.
Yeah. Okay, yes, you could. But like the river,
it's unlikely.
The river you guys have been traveling on doesn't split anywhere.
Well, no, because it would split in like to like a hex that doesn't show a river.
Yeah, and I'd be like, you guys are lost. Like the whole point is like I kind of started off doing it wrong. Like I was supposed to roll for you guys every time and tell you where you are unless you're not lost. But you guys are never lost, so I was just like, okay, whatever. But like. Well, actually, this river does split off into a... Yeah, there's... You guys could get lost on this river eventually. But it looks like eventually you'd end up where you're supposed to be. Well, where you're supposed to be, but we'll see. It'll be fun. As long as we get to actually, like, play.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's only been 2 weeks, though.
Yep.
And then what? What are we doing after Tomb of Annihilation?
I don't know.
Some badass, awesome Western stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always, like, every 3 days, I come up with an idea for, this will be cool. Like, the Western, I really want to do, because that'll be a lot of fun. I don't know how it'll work with 5e. I don't know if it'll work, like, really great.
You could do, like, steampunk kind of stuff.
Like a Westworld type stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I tried to do with, like, my first campaign that I played. I don't know if you guys, I don't think either one
of you. I think I was at the tail end of it.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, so this is, like, it's, like, fantasy steampunk, so it's, like, it's fantasy, but there's guns, and instead of things working on steam, they work on this, like, arcane, like, energy that they managed to harness and use as, like, a fuel. And, like, it was a cool idea, but the party I started playing with didn't like they paid no attention to what the story was, had was. And things just went off the rails really fast. Like it was just like, I don't mind sandbox campaigns, it's fine. But it was like three sessions in and they couldn't even tell me what what they were supposed to be doing. So I was like, oh, this is great. Plus we had a certain player who was making it all about himself, and then
no.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
that man. Happened.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe either.
It. Yeah. No, that happened. And I was like and I was like, okay, well, guns are a thing in this world. Only one player is like, yeah, I'm gonna pick up some guns. Only one player is like that. Everybody else is like, I've got a crossbow. I'm like, why? Why do you have a crossbow? You literally have a gun. But then I realized that the guns are way overpowered in the DMG. Because there's like a chart for them in the back of the DMG for guns.
Yeah.
They're too strong, I find. Yeah, here. So for a pistol, is 1d10. Actually, no. Sorry. That's for the Renaissance item. Or a revolver, because I was like, I wanted to have it like a little more Western. Revolver is 2d8. So that's, you theoretically like deal 16 damage in one shot.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and that's just for a pistol. You got a hunting rifle, it's 2d10. So at first level, you have somebody who's dealing like 20 or 16 or 20 damage. It was just too much. But anyway, I think we've done good for tonight.
That was a pretty good session.
Yeah, it was.
Next time, I think maybe we'll populate our town with a couple more NPCs. We have to come up with a name for this town.
Freedomville. It's American.
American. For my Western, I had to start off with just a small town. I'm not going to draw this crazy map with stuff all over. I'm going to start with a small town and like this little like mission to start off with. And I was going to call it Copperton. So I was like, oh, maybe we'll name this town the Copperton from the Western, except like 400 or 500 years back.
That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, figure that out, and then one day we'll have to build one of the dungeons and flesh out the story a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think for this week, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Fudge the roll. I'm Tristan.
I'm still Zach.
Still?
Jenny.
You guys all haven't changed at all?
All day.
All day?
All day.
All day, every day.
Part of tomorrow, too. We'll see.
Okay. Well, we'll see how you feel. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Don't push yourself, Matt.
I won't.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.